This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Quantum Computing, the Quantum Report with Brandon Weikert, Senior National Security Editor for the National Interest, as well as a fellow at the Center for National Interest. He also writes for Popular Mechanics, and he's my god on quantum computing. Artificial intelligence is all around us, but that's yesterday. Quantum computing is the future, especially when it comes to communication. Brandon, a very good evening to you. You call my attention to a milestone in the pursuit of quantum communications. This is an article published 5 February 2025, in other words, within days, in the Nature magazine, which is the top-of-the-pile peer-reviewed magazine for Europe. We're looking at an article that describes distributed quantum computing across an optical network link. A very good evening to you, Brandon. This is, according to Nature magazine, and I trust them because they're all hands on for when they make a claim like this. This is a breakthrough, the first time ever communication between two modules using quantum computing have conveyed information that is the fundamental for writing algorithms called gates. How does quantum computing work, Brandon? What are we describing here when they make these breakthroughs? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John, and thank you for having me. The quantum computing is one of these revolutions that if they can get it working the way they think they want it working, it could take all of that computing power in traditional computers and take it to levels completely unforeseen, unimaginable, truly putting the super in supercomputer. When they're talking about things like qubits, basically, this is the ability, in the case of quantum communication, this is the ability to take very large quantities of information and instantaneously transfer or send that information to through quantum communication. They can basically take it from one particle and send it to a particle that's in a completely different part. That's why they call it teleportation. It's just like the Star Trek transporter sounds like, only instead of doing it with people, you're doing it with information at a very large scale.
The experiment took place at Oxford University, at the Clarendon Laboratory, Department of Physics. The article was submitted in late 2024, and I read the important statement. I pay attention when they say the first time. Here we experimentally demonstrate the distribution of quantum computations between two photonically interconnected trapped ion modules. The modules separated by about 2 meters, each contain dedicated network and circuit qubits. Yeah. And they're saying this is the first time anybody's done that with information that describes the fundamentals of algorithms. In other words, they've made a breakthrough that was doubted for some time. This is just the beginning of it. And they did it with what they say were 86% fidelity. That's very high end. Is there a quantum race on, or are these guys all by themselves, Brandon?
Oh, no, there's definitely a quantum race on. Interestingly, Google in 2006 was the only show in town in terms of quantum, and they claimed quantum supremacy back then, and they sort of did nothing with it because there was no understanding or inkling to kind of scale it up and develop it into a marketable product. But then China started getting into the market quite heavily, and so that prompted other U.S. tech firms, both the bigger ones and startups, as well as you're seeing these research labs like the one at Oxford, to really start getting into it. So there is not only sort of that nation state competition between China and America, notably, but there's now also a private sector competition between these various private actors and these private or semi-private research labs. And obviously, they're all feeding off of one another. If they can get this right, John, basically, a qubit, it represents when we're talking about the kind of modality that they're transferring this information across. Qubits represent, they're sort of like a bit in a regular computer, but this is operating on the quantum level. And so basically a qubit can represent a zero or a one or any combination of both. And this is where it gets confusing for some people. But in that sort of ambiguous state of existence, that's how scientists think they can not only transmit vast quantities of data as this technology develops. But also, they think on the computing side, that's how they're going to be able to basically do complex problem-solving operations that would normally take a regular supercomputer a very long time to complete, if ever. They think they can do that with a quantum computer in a relatively short amount of time. And when you marry that in the long run to something like artificial intelligence, now things start getting really wild. They start getting into science fiction territory.
I'm focusing on communication because
absolutely
that is immediately a question to be answered, because it looks to be unbreakable. That's the kind of communication you have.
That's the key.
You have the word teleportation, which can be misleading because we've seen too many Star Trek episodes. All right. In this teleportation, nothing actually physically leaves the module it starts in. It is mirrored by the other module, and that's what they mean by teleportation. In other words, you've communicated without actually communicating. It's gone, and it rides a beam. Is that what they mean by photonically?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing here is, you're right. Not only is it a national security thing, this is why China wants it, because they don't like the fact that the Americans pioneered the telecommunications and internet revolutions, which still gives our intelligence community significant advantages over them. So they want to create a whole new system that we can't read their mail, basically. But also the ability to possibly profit from this. There's a lot of money that could be made. It's a whole new telecommunications revolution based on what's going on at places like Oxford.
AI, the old guys, the artificial intelligence. You bring my attention to a speech made by the vice president most recently as he's traveling overseas. What in the speech compels you, Brandon?
Well, it was a 15-minute speech, and it was the most articulate vice presidential speech I've probably seen in 8 years. Young J.D. Vance went out there, and he, of course, comes from the tech world, sort of. He certainly, his benefactors have been Peter Thiel and the PayPal mafia. And he gave a speech in which he outlined what the American position on AI development was. And in that speech, he sort of chastised the Europeans for basically being too reticent to engage in AI development. And he also reassured possibly uneasy American workers that AI will not take your job for the most part. It's not going to be as disruptive as the naysayers are saying. And all of this is being said in the context, obviously, of that national security, great power game with China, who is also heavily involved in AI development.
What I liked about the vice president's remarks is he said, we're going to win. We're winning.
That's
now,
right.
And we're going to win.
That's right.
There was no hesitation whatsoever. And
that's right.
And if we can get past the gossip, we're winning.
That's right. And John, I think the key thing here is that this administration has a very clear and concise objective with a very radical new technology, AI, whereas the previous administration was sort of lost in the woods. So it's very nice to see leadership in that regard.
The quantum computing race is on. The artificial intelligence already won by the U.S., but what we've learned is you have to keep winning all the time. Brandon Weikert of the Center for National Interest. He is a senior editor for National Security for National Interest. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.